Well, hey, I'm really honored to be with you guys this morning. It really is a humbling thing to stand up here and just to be able to share some of the things that the Lord showed me and some of the things that the experiences that I've had. And I really, really hope that you're encouraged this morning. So, you know, Amber did a great job of just envisioning us about being salt and light, and that's who we are and why that's important to our world that we live in. And so I'm going to try to take that idea, that concept, and kind of bring it down to a personal level of how do we do that in the day-to-day. So as we talk about being salt and light, there's one thing that we have to get straight. We're never going to be that based on our own strength, our own ability, or our own goodness. It's absolutely impossible. But what we need more than anything is a daily filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so when I talk about the Holy Spirit, that's not, like, don't let that trip you out. I mean, like, so it says in the Bible that Jesus was the exact representation of the Father God, right? And that the Spirit of God is what he uses to put Jesus inside of us. Okay, so they're all, it's three in one, it's the Trinity, it's the same person. So you can almost use those interchangeably, right? So I want to talk to you today about two different ways of living life. And that those two are living life from a candle or living life from a lamp. And my goal isn't even that you take great notes and hear everything I say and really ingest that, but my goal is that through this, that God would do that awesome thing that he does where he can take this and, like, personalize it to each one of you. I remember the last time I spoke, somebody came up to me afterward and was telling me about a circumstance they were going through, and they said, you know, just like you talked about. And I'm thinking, I didn't say anything about that, like, not even close, you know, but God took that and it personalized it. So what I want you to be listening for today is what the Lord's speaking to you, for what God's speaking to your spirit. That's the most important thing you can take notes on today. Amen? Okay, so I'm just going to throw a few things out there and let God mess with you a little bit. Does that sound good? I have a favorite candle, and I got it as a gift. It was from Magnolia Market. And, you know, that's I got it before I even knew that was cool. Like, I had to Google Chip and Joanna Gaines and even see who they were. I didn't even know that was a thing. But it's Joanna's favorite fall scent, and it is divine. Let me tell you, this candle smells amazing. And so I wanted it to last as long as possible, so I only pull it out in the fall. But this fall, it was just about done. I mean, it was, like, down to the nubs. And, you know, it's one of those that kind of had the wax built up on one side still. So I'm, like, taking a hairdryer. This is a true story. Taking a hairdryer and trying to melt it off the sides so that I can get a few more hours of this amazing scent. But it just got to a point where it just wasn't working anymore. It wouldn't even light, you know. And I just had no choice but to throw it away. Thank you, Marie Kondo, for that. Just wasn't sparking joy anymore. So here's the deal. A candle burns by self-consumption. And when it's burned out, there's nothing else to do, even if you love it, than to throw it away and get a new one. But that's not the life that God has for us today. You're not meant to just go until you burn out and then get replaced. You're so much more valuable than that. So there's a word that the world has for this kind of lifestyle, and it is normal. Amen? It's absolutely normal in the world scheme of things to operate from this candle mentality. You say things like, I'm just going to go till I can't. I'll sleep when I die. You know, I mean, unfortunately, these are cultural norms that we have. When's the last time you asked someone how life was and they responded with something like, I'm just feeling so rested and relaxed. I really feel like I'm living life at a good pace and I'm just really thriving. Has anybody ever said that to you? I mean, no, we don't say that. We think we're doing great if we're just burning the candle at one end instead of two, right? I mean, this is like worldly goals. So that's normal for the world, but it's not normal for kingdom living. Amen? So there's some warning signs that you might be operating from a candle if we'll pay attention. You know, Amber said something about, thank you, Jesus, you didn't send me to Africa. Well, I was one of those people that God did say go to Africa. And so I was there for, I went several times. And I was part of a basketball team, and we'd go and we'd do kind of sports ministry and use that as a platform to share our faith. And so one of these trips was to Cape Town, South Africa. And we got to do some sightseeing while we were there. And one of the trips that we got to take was to a place called Cape Point. And Cape Point is the very southern tip of Africa. So it's where, they say it's where two oceans meet. It's the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. And it's just an amazingly breathtaking spot. Well, it just so happens that baboons are native to this area. And so on the road going up to Cape Point, it was kind of a windy road, kind of going up a little hill, and we saw these signs that says, baboons are dangerous and attracted by food. Okay, so and all along the road, we see these mama baboons with the babies on their back. Like, they're so cute, you know? And we're thinking, okay, don't feed them. Got it. That's not a good idea, you know? And so we get up to the top where the parking lot is, and we were in these kind of SUV vehicles, and we parked next to a hill that was kind of covered in brush and bushes. And we got out. We had brought a sack lunch with us, and we stuck them all on the hood of the vehicle. Because that's a good idea, right? And so we're all standing in a circle, and one of the missionaries that we were with had his back to the hill, and he's telling us this story about being attacked by a baboon. Because he had this shiny pin in his pocket, and the baboon was like seeing something shiny, and he's telling us all about how they're so dangerous and so strong, and they could rip a man's arm off with no problem at all, right? So we're standing in the circle, and across from him is this guy on our team we affectionately called Crash. I don't remember his real name, but we called him Crash. And he was like the practical joker, and he was always like the prankster of the group. And Crash is standing there, and all of a sudden he says, baboon, you know, and we're like, whatever, not falling for it this time. And believe it or not, sure enough, this gigantic, male, mean-looking, I mean, gets bigger every time I tell the story, baboon jumps from out on the side of the hill and lands on the hood of our car and just starts grabbing up all of our lunches. And y'all, I'm not a fast person. I have never been a runner. But in that moment, I think I could have made the Olympic team. In the 100-meter dash, I've never run so fast in my life. So that baboon grabs these lunches and he jumped down. He ran across the street and jumps up on the top of a Mercedes, pulls out an apple, and just starts eating it. Looks at us like, what you gonna do about it? You know, here comes the game warden with the bullwhip, like Indiana Jones style, whoosh, whoosh, you know, and got it under control for us. Like, what in the world does this have to do with what you're talking about? We saw the warning signs, but we didn't think they applied to us, right? And so I think it's the same way with us. There's warning signs that maybe you're living from this candle mentality. I want to share a few of those with you this morning. Number one, you feel tired, exhausted, and burned out. Okay, I can just go home now because everybody can relate, right? We're done. You feel like you're the only one who can do fill in the blank, whatever it is. You feel like if I don't do it, it's not going to get done, so this is wearing me out, but I have no choice. You know, I've been there. I remember leading worship from this kind of mentality, and let me tell you, that's not a good thing. This is probably years and years ago, but there was a time when I was the only worship leader that we had. Like, we're so blessed now to have such amazing people on this team, and so week in, week out, I was the only one who ever led, and so I started feeling kind of trapped. And like this, I can't go anywhere, I can't go visit my parents, I can't, if I'm not here, this is not happening. And it's like, you know, you get that kind of thought rolling around in your head and it grows, right? Because I didn't feel like I could say anything because I'm supposed to be spiritual, right? And this should be fun and life-giving. But I felt like it was up to me to like pray hard enough and pick the right songs and maybe God would reward me by showing up and we had good worship. Let me tell you, that is a pressure that is too heavy. And God doesn't mean for any of us to carry something like that. So finally, I just kind of got to a breaking point. And I can remember being at the old building over there on Quincy and being on the stage and literally thinking, I can't wait till this is over. I knew at that moment I probably needed to talk to somebody, right? Because that's not where you want your worship leader. And so I went and talked to some of our leaders, and of course they had no idea I was feeling like that, right? And you know what they told me? hey, take some time off. Why don't you take off 6 months? And I'm thinking, what? Like, I can't do that. It'll fall apart. No, it didn't. We didn't miss a beat. It was fine. Nothing bad happened. You know, and I think sometimes when we think we're the only person that can do whatever it is, God's already raising somebody up. God already has a plan in mind, and sometimes we're preventing that from happening because we won't get out of the way, right? Okay. Number three, you don't feel like you have any margin to do the things that feed your soul. You know what? It's okay to take time and take care of you. That's important. You feel like you can't say no. Anybody relate to that? Like, I feel like I should just, if somebody asked me to do something, I should just do it because I'm a good person and I'm nice, right? I've had more than one person tell me in my life that I'm good at saying no. And I don't know if that was a compliment, but I'm going to take it that way. You're going through the motions of life, just doing things out of habit or obligation. You make a conscious effort to keep up outward appearances, but on the inside, you feel like you're drowning. I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, I was driving back from my parents' house, I think, with my kids, and I was listening to podcasts. It's about a 6 or 7 hour trip, and man, podcasts, by the way, have revolutionized road trips for me. Is anybody else like that? Like, man, I could drive forever if I can just listen to whatever I want, you know, and all this great teaching and that kind of thing. And I was listening to a podcast or a sermon by a guy named Mark Driscoll. And I wasn't thinking about women's ministry. I wasn't thinking about this event. I didn't even know we were having it yet. And he gave this analogy that I thought was really great. He said, being in the kingdom is kind of like being in a boat that's traveling in a big body of water. And the boat is like the church. The boat is us as believers. And the water's like the world. And all around in the water, there's storms swirling, and there's all sorts of turbulence and things going on. And our job is not to be in the water, but to go through the water. He's talking about being in the world, not of the world. And he said, as you go along, there's people in the water that are drowning, that are having a really rough time. And our job is to reach out to them and say, hey, get in here with me. There's a safe harbor ahead. There's a better way. Come with me. Let me help you, right? But what happens so often is that we let too much of the water, the world, into our boat, right? And so if too much water gets in our boat, we're not effective anymore because we're right there with them. Help me, I'm drowning, right? I need help. And you know, as Christians, we do things differently. We do life differently. We do parenting differently. We do relationships differently. We do entertainment differently than the world. And if we're doing it all the same, then we're not going to be able to be that rescue that people are so desperately listening to, needing. And so in my spirit, in that moment, I felt God whisper to me, this is a word for our women. Let's be in the world, but not of the world. Let's don't drown with everybody else. Let's do things differently and help people come along. Amen? Okay, so I'm just going to throw that out there. One more sign, two more signs that you might be living from a candle. When people ask how you're doing, you gloss things over with things like, I'm fine. Do y'all know what FINE stands for? This is great. A friend shared it with me one time. FINE stands for freaking out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So next time you say that, I don't know. And you put your identity and worth in what you do and how you perform. We quote scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But we're just using it as a justification to do things that Christ hasn't actually called us to and therefore hasn't given us strength for, and so we rely on our own because that's what a good Christian does, right? But this is the truth. The scripture says in Psalm 16, 5 and 6, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Do you feel like you have boundaries that are pleasant today? Or do you feel like they've been trampled to the point where you're not sure if you even have any anymore? You might be living from a candle. So, candles won't do, right? That's just not going to work. There must be a better way. Well, good news, there is. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about today. So our scripture for this morning, Matthew 5, says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they hide a lamp or light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So it says they don't put their lamp under a basket, but on a lampstand. So what's the difference? So we kind of have to think first century here. Like, this wasn't the cute lamps that they have at World Market that you bring home. You're like, "Oh, that'd be so cute on this table and plug it in." Okay, it wasn't that kind of a deal. I mean, electricity wasn't a deal. That wasn't a thing yet, you know? So what they were talking about was like a clay oil lamp. That was what was most common. And I think we have a picture of that to show you guys kind of what those would look like. So can you see the picture here? So throughout scripture, oil is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And just as the lamp had to be filled up with oil and the wick had to soak that up, we're fueled by God himself to be the light that he's called us to be. I got some great insights on oil lamps from a camping website, because you can still get these today. They might not look quite like that, but it said this. It says, "Never burn dry wicks. Always make sure they are completely soaked in lamp oil. Allow the wick to absorb oil to the top of the wick. Once the wick is lighted, it will start with only a small flame. The brightness of the flame will increase as the wick draws up oil into the flame." Isn't that a great picture? You can't be a light without fuel, and God gives us the Holy Spirit to fuel our lives. There's been probably about the past year or two, I've been kind of fascinated with this whole thing of the tabernacle of Moses. And I've got a picture that a friend gave me a postcard with like an artist rendition of this. And basically, tabernacle is just a fancy word for tent. And this is when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. This is what God instructed them to put up every time they stopped as the place where they would worship. And it says that God was with them as with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, I don't know about you guys, but like if you're in this tent right here, I'm thinking that makes a heck of a nightlight, you know? I mean, that'd be pretty awe-inspiring to see God physically present in that place. And this little tent inside the tent right here, where the fire's coming down, this was called the holy place. And only the priests were allowed to go in to the holy place. And there's all sorts of, man, incredible symbolism and neat stuff about that that'd be for another day. But one of the things that was in there was a golden lampstand. Now, it didn't look anything like the clay lamp that we just looked at. Think more like menorah, like very ornate, golden, many branches kind of thing. And the job of the priests, twice a day, morning and evening, it said that they were to go in and fill the bowls and trim the wicks. That was part of their job of taking care of the tabernacle. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, great. The priest has got it down. My pastor is taking care of me, right? There's a couple problems with that. Number one, it said they did it twice a day. I don't think once a week is probably going to cut it. But here's the big thing. In the New Testament, guess what? You are a priest. It says in 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." If you skip on a few verses, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." So you're not off the hook this morning. Sorry to tell you. You are a priest, and that means it's your job to fill your bowl and trim your wicks. So let's look at what that looks like. Filling your bowl. What do you do to connect with God? What do you do that makes you feel so full, makes you feel connected to the Holy Spirit? I was driving down the road the other day, and I heard a tagline on the radio, and it said, "From Tulia to Abernathy and everywhere in between, KWLD." And my immediate thought is, man, the kids must have been messing with my radio because I don't even remember. I forgot that that station was even there, right? And I started thinking about that. I was like, man, don't we kind of do that with God sometimes? Like, he's everywhere. He's way beyond Tulia to Abernathy. He's everywhere all the time. But if we don't tune our hearts in to the right frequency, he could be all around you and you'd never know. You could totally forget that he's there. And so when we talk about filling our bowls, we're talking about what do you do to tune your heart to realize that God is with you. So think past quiet time, which I'm not against. I think that's a great idea. And think, pray without ceasing. How do you stay in communion with God throughout the day? Now, I know what some of you are thinking, especially you ladies with young kids at home. All day, all night. Please, please don't give me something else to do, right? I just can't. And I'm not too far removed from that season of life. My youngest is 4, so we're not waking up every night all the time or any of that. But I remember when they were babies, and it did not matter how early I set my alarm and how quietly I tiptoed into the kitchen to get my coffee, as soon as I sat down in that recliner and reached for my Bible, inevitably it was, and I was just like, no, God, I'm trying so hard, you know, and then you're gonna get bitter at your kid. You're like, quit it, I'm trying to have time with God, right? But my friend Julie Snellgrove taught me something so important for this season of life with young kids. She told me that pursuing God in this season would look differently. It wouldn't be 30 minutes or an hour of uninterrupted quiet time with your coffee, but look for those pockets of time. Even just a moment to pause and whisper a prayer, to become aware of his presence in the everyday moments as you go about your day. And I kind of think that's probably what he had in mind anyway, don't y'all? So what are some practical ways that we can fill our bowl? First of all, obviously connecting with God in the word, in prayer, in worship. And I'm all for starting your day with these things. I think it's great if you're in a season of life where that works. but depending on your situation, it might look like an audio Bible in the car or worship music on your computer at work or just talking to God as you go about your day. You have the ability to create the environment where you can experience God. And sometimes it's as simple as gratitude. You know, in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, kind of like this right here. How do you get into the presence of God? Well, this gate right here, you just need to be thankful, and that'll get you in, okay? That does a lot to set the stage. I was reading that in the Message, and it says it this way. It says, enter with the password, thank you. I mean, how simple is that? That one little thing can sometimes totally shift our mindset and shift our day. Another way we fill our bowls is to connect with others. And you'll hear that said time and time and time again. Church, life group, coffee, lunch dates. You know, when we see videos about like gathering of friends, or we see videos about life groups and this kinds of things, and let me just let you in on a little secret. This isn't some kind of like multi-level marketing thing where they get a kickback for whoever comes. Like, I'll give you $50 if you can get so-and-so here. Okay, it's not like that. It's like, this really is genuinely something that has changed our lives, and we see value in it, and we want you to experience that too. And let me tell you, I know it can be awkward. It's just going to be awkward sometimes. I remember when my youngest was probably about 2 months old, and I got invited by a friend, kind of acquaintance-type friend. I didn't know her real well, but she was having a lunch for some of the moms, like stay-at-home moms, and she invited us to come. And so, you know, back in that time, it's like you're at the stage where, okay, can I shower, fix my hair, get dressed, take care of the baby, get us all out the door by lunch? Think I can do it, you know, like maybe even without spit up, I don't know. So we got to the lunch and it was very nice, and we were all sitting around the table, and I had Cord, my oldest baby, he was sitting in my lap, and her little daughter came over to me, and she was probably about 4, and she said, hey, what's your baby's name? And I said, well, his name is Cord. And she sits there. She said, looks at her mom. She says, "See, Mom, I told you you could name a baby Cord." And her eyes got real big. And she says, "Well, yeah, of course. You know, you can name a baby whatever you want." And she says, "But you said, who in the world would name a baby Cord?" And, you know, in that moment, she just wanted to crawl in a hole. And the other ladies at the table weren't sure whether to laugh or, like, cringe, you know? And then she starts trying to save it and, like, backpedal. She's like, "I mean, I did say that, but I thought it meant, like, you know, a cord that you plug in the wall." And then my husband explained to me that y'all both play guitar and that's how you met. And it was, like, a music thing. And I'm so sorry. And so, I mean, sometimes it gets awkward. Embrace the awkward. It'll be a great story someday, okay? Make time to do what fills you. What is it that you enjoy? It doesn't have to be, you know, a $200 day at the spa, which if you like doing that and you can do that, great, awesome. But you know what? It might be something simple. I love to go to garage sales, to thrift shops. In fact, y'all, there was one this morning, and I almost stopped. I almost stopped on the way here, and I thought, no, stay focused. But it's fun to me. It's like a treasure hunt. It's something fun that I can do. I can bring my kids along, that we have a good time. I love going to the Y and working out with friends. You know, it's like we have a little exercise class, and if anybody wants to come talk to me. I'll invite you. And you know, half the time it feels like it turns into life group. I mean, it's just kind of like that community of women just trying to do life together and being real. And, you know, it fills me. So whatever it is for you, make sure you make time to do that. Even if you have to put it in your schedule. I'm putting that on my schedule. Like, we write out our little calendar for the week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to the Y in the morning. That's what I'm doing. So to make time, you might even have to write it down, schedule it, make a point to be filled. And then the last thing is just to serve others. I got a great piece of advice one time. Somebody told me that if you're in a funk, sometimes the best thing you can do is go do something nice for somebody else. Get out of sometimes we just kind of get in ourselves and it's just becomes overwhelming. Go do something nice for somebody else. It can make a world of difference. So I'm sure that there's other ways. Those are just a few. There's other ways, that things that you can do to fill your bowl. But whatever it is for you, make sure you're doing that daily. So what about trimming the wicks? This is the responsibility as priests, right? The Greek word for trim means like to order, to arrange, to put in order. And so I think trimming the wicks is talking about cutting back on the things, the good things in your life that you're doing that maybe are just a little out of balance. You know, a friend of mine, Jody said something about playing basketball, and I played basketball for a lot of years, and I finally reached the age where I, like, have basketball knees, you know? they always said this would happen in high school. It's, like, so worth it. I don't even care. Like, I'll fight to the finish, you know? But now my knees are just kind of achy, and a friend of mine was telling me about this supplement, this ancient root that you can take, and it's supposed to be really good for inflammation and aches and pains and that kind of thing. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. And man, I think it helped. It helped a lot. So I was reading about the dosage and how you're supposed to take it. And in small portions, it's extremely beneficial. But so you read on down, like, okay, but if you take too much, like, there's all these warning, these bad side effects that can happen. And so something that's good in small amounts can actually be counterproductive or even destructive if it's too much, if it's out of proportion. Does that make sense? So when we talk about trimming your wicks, God's given you passions, things that you burn for, and these are good. But even a good thing can get out of proportion, and here's the deal. A burned up wick can't hold oil. And that's what we want to be, right? We want to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of God. So is there a good thing in your life that's keeping you from the God things? I grew up in a family that my dad was really, really into the news and current events. And, I mean, he would, like, record C-SPAN to watch later. You know, like, he's really, and that's great. And so I've always kind of had a fascination with what's going on in politics and what's going on with, you know, the current events and that kind of thing. And so when I became a stay-at-home mom, I didn't want to just have the TV on all the time, so I found a radio station that I liked, and they do a lot of news stuff from a Christian perspective and kind of keep you in the loop, and I really enjoyed. I felt like I learned a lot. But just recently, I realized that, man, I have that on all the time, just kind of in the background while I'm going about my day, and it's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but I realized it was always flooding the background of my mind. Does that make sense? And so I felt like God was challenging me to just turn it off. Just turn it off. And so I thought, okay, well, that's no problem. I'm going to turn it off for 3 days and do something else. And man, it was a little harder than I thought because that was just kind of my habit. That was kind of my normal. That's kind of what I did. And so instead of listening to that, I decided I'm going to enroll in this. I found like a online worship school. I'm going to enroll in this. I'm going to listen to some of this stuff. And y'all, I cannot tell you in 3 short days what a huge difference that made in my outlook, in my attitude, in my joy. And man, I would just really challenge you guys to take 3 days and take something that's just habit, take something that's always in your background and replace it with something intentional that's life-giving and see what happens. You might be surprised. So what are some other things that we might need to trim back? I think about our schedules, our kids' activities, volunteering. Those are all great things. And here's the deal. I know that there's seasons of life that are just busy. I mean, we just got through with a peewee basketball season that was 3 nights a week. I mean, what the heck? Like, I didn't know that when we signed up, but here we are. So there's going to be times that are just busy, but on the scale, on your overall, how you live your life, are you going at a sustainable pace? Social media, do I even need to elaborate? Amber did a great job of talking about that. Ministry, if you're involved in ministry, that can even get out of balance. You're so busy hearing God for other people that you forget what he has to say to you. Holding on to what God has done in the past. You know, you might have had an incredible experience with the Lord 10 years ago, and you're still like, man, that was back then, that was neat. That was neat when that happened. I'm going to hang on to that. Well, that's great and celebrate that. But you know what? God is not static. He's dynamic. He's never changing, but he's always moving. And he has something fresh and new for you each day that he wants to speak into your heart. I think keeping your wicks trimmed looks a lot like this prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." So you have to find what works for the rhythm of your life. But here's the deal. If there's no time for Jesus in the rhythm of your life, you probably need to make a change. Because you're not living your life. You're being consumed by it. And like I said, I'm not saying you can't be busy. That's not real life. But when we get the busiest, we require the most fuel. And what's usually the first thing that we cut back? Our time with the Lord, right? We short-circuit our lives by falling back into relying on our own strength. Now, there's this supernatural thing that happens when we get our priorities in order and choose to do life God's way. I call it divine efficiency. God can take anything, not just loaves and fish, but time, money, energy, and multiply it to more than you had when you were trying so hard to make everything work on your own. If we can learn to live at a sustainable pace, fueled and led by God himself, we will naturally be the lights that he's called us to be. We'll have margin to be tuned in to follow those promptings of the Holy Spirit that will impact those around us. We'll be better moms, friends, and wives. You are the light of the world. Now, as we close out today, I want to address one thing that I know at least some of you are feeling today. You're thinking, that's great, but I don't even have a fire. I don't have a light. And maybe you feel like you've never had one, or maybe you feel like this message is just too little, too late, because yours has long since burned out. Well, I have good news for you today. God wants to light that fire. He wants to give you that fire that we've been talking about. And here's the even better news. You don't have to work or perform or do anything. You just need to ask. Nancy, it's not your job to relight your fire. Back to this My Little Temple picture. When God consecrated this temple, meaning it was like the first time they set it up and they're putting it all together, first church service they had, I guess, if you want to say that, it says that they set a sacrifice on the altar, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the sacrifice. Now, I don't know what song you sing after that. Like, whoa. I mean, that must have been quite a day, right? And he instructed them that fire was never to go out, and they were to take fire from the altar to use in other parts of the tabernacle. Anywhere that needed fire, it had to come from that place, because that's the fire that God lit. Now, as you go on and read that story, it's in Leviticus, and I know you thought nothing was interesting in Leviticus, but this is a great story. It says that Aaron's sons, who were priests, like they were part of this deal, they knew what was going on. Later that day, they went in to minister before the Lord, and they were going to burn incense before the presence of the Lord. But it says that instead of taking the fire from the altar like they were instructed, they just brought their own. I don't know if they had like an ancient Zippo lighter or whatever, lighted it up, right? Well, guess what happened? Fire came out and consumed them. Like, God was real serious about this. And I think it's the same for us today. He doesn't want us to try to bring our own fire. He wants you to light that in you today. So maybe you feel like God's maybe calling you. He has highlighted some things that maybe you can make some changes. And maybe he's challenging you to be that light that you're called to be. But it's not your fire that will get it done. It's his. Ask for prayer today. It says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, and we are righteous because Christ is in us. There's one more thing that I want to mention. And just as I was going preparing for today, I just felt in my spirit that somebody needed to hear this. And that's that your marriage is not a candle either. It's not just something that's gotten burned up and needs to be thrown out and let's just get a new one. Your marriage is not a candle. It's the same principle. It's a bowl that needs to be filled. And if you will be intentional about making steps to refill that bowl, that God will bring that fire back to that as well. Amen? So I'm going to pray for us. Thank you so much for being here today. And God, we just thank you. We just thank you that you've called us to be the light of the world, and not just called us, but empowered us to do that by your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray a blessing on each of these women. Would you speak to us now like only you can? Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friends. Y'all, I get to be with Becca a lot in the morning at the Y. Well, she goes a lot more than I do, but a lot of times when I'm there, she's there, and she has inspired me so much because of just what she told you guys. She makes it a priority to be there because that's something that fills her tank and helps her to be healthy. But also what I've seen is when she's there, she's open to what the Lord is doing. Sometimes I go and I'm just focused on making it through spin class 45 minutes without my legs falling off, you know, and I don't really feel like I look around and see, what are you doing, Lord? But Becca has really made that her life group. And she said she didn't want this to be about her, but I wanted to tell you this because it has inspired me personally so much. But the people that she has invited, that are her friends, have needed her, and she has always offered an invitation and said, come along with me. This is just my normal life. This is what I'm doing, but I want you to come and be with me. And she's invited me. I think I was not exercising for a long time, and she texted me and said, hey, come to the Y. I think you would like this class. And it kind of got me going again. But then what I've seen also is that as she has gathered friends around her, she has been a lamp and a light, because people who don't know Christ are attracted to her, and they're attracted to a group of women who are honestly cheering each other on and who are supporting each other and who are doing life together. And it's amazing to watch her. People come to her and pour out their hearts to her who don't even know her, just because of her being who she is and being a light. So what I heard through that talk over and over again is for us to just think relationship. All of this has to do with relationship. And the last thing that Jesus wants for us is for us to be burned up like a candle. He doesn't want us to be consumed. He wants us to be full and flowing. And the way that we receive that oil and a refilling is always through relationship with Him and with these people that God has put around us. So one of the other things that stood out to me is how do I connect with God just in my everyday life? And I loved what Becca said about Thanksgiving being the gate that opens to our connection to God, gratitude. And that has helped me so much just in everyday life to be grateful for the little things. As soon as I'm grateful, it opens up my awareness of the Lord. So I don't have to be sitting there reading my Bible and drinking coffee to be connected with Him. But in the everyday life, when I say thank you for my daughter, thank you for this friendship, thank you for my food, for my house, for all the little things that I have, immediately in that moment, it opens my connection with the Lord and refills that oil. Simple things that Becca's reminded us of, and our connections with our friends. So, so powerful. So we're going to go into another discussion time, another 20 minutes. Your questions are in your little booklet. And let's just talk about filling our lamps and trimming our wicks. Where are you with that? And what are some things that the Lord's speaking to you through what Becca just taught us?